Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Lindsay Brown, and it is my pleasure reading God's Word to you. I have been at Mountain Brook Baptist for many years as a granddaughter and a daughter, and have officially been a member for a little over a year. I have been serving alongside the youth, and it has been a great joy. I am a counselor in the area. I have my own practice, but I also have the blessing of going into the Mountain Brook schools and meeting with students during their school day. In this devotional guide, we are journeying through the story of the Bible and looking at the ways we see light break through the darkness from creation to new creation. Today is Thursday, January the 2nd, and I am reading John 13, 1 through 30 from the New International Version. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. "What you are about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Thank you for joining me as I reflect on this passage. My devotional is titled, "A Heart Like His." Every year on the last night of summer camp, my youth pastor, armed with a towel and a bucket of water, would wash the feet of the graduating class. This final act of service before sending the graduates into the world was as humbling for the students as it was impactful for those of us watching because of its representation of Christ's call to love and serve one another. When the time came for my feet to be washed, I felt much like Peter, that it was I who should be bowed low, washing the feet of the man who had humbly and sacrificially discipled me throughout my middle and high school years. I could not even begin to fathom how uncomfortable, embarrassed, and unworthy the disciples must have felt as their Lord and Master took on the posture of a servant. Jesus washed the feet of those he loved as well as those who betrayed him, and he calls us to do the same. Talk about mission impossible. What about the person who hurt me? What about the one who rejected me, invalidated me, or betrayed me? What about the one who abandoned me, deceived me, or did not stand up for me? God calls us to serve those we feel deserve it and those we feel do not. God's kind of love requires forgiveness and a right understanding of Christ's love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The ability to serve one another as Christ served the church is directly correlated to our hearts. If my heart holds pride, anger, contempt, fear, or condemnation, I cannot follow in obedience to God's commandment to love one another. If I take the posture that I am entitled to hold on to my hurt or entitled to the other person owning their sin first, my heart is no more in right standing before the Lord than the person I am withholding forgiveness from. Living in obedience to Christ's commandment requires us to see our brokenness and need for a Savior. When we posture our hearts in light of this truth, it allows us to see the one who hurt us as broken and in need of a Savior too. Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, perfectly modeled the posture we are to take towards one another. As believers, we hold fast to the truth that God's way is right, true, and best. If then God calls us to love, forgive, and serve one another, isn't it also true that loving, forgiving, and serving one another leads us to freedom and abundant life? The call is not simply to the act of washing one another's feet, but to the posture of our hearts. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its power to convict, to transform, and ultimately draw us closer to you. Lord, the call to love one another as you have loved us feels insurmountable. We take a moment to bring to mind relationships in which we have not loved well. Father, we confess our pride, our hurt, our bitterness, our resentment, and our entitlement. We release them to you as our first act of loving others. Father, I ask that you would enter into our relationships. I pray that you would work in the hearts of all involved to bring about restoration and healing. Thank you for the power of your word, for the extravagance of your love, for the forgiveness of sins, and for the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Amen.